Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming today. We're here to honor Virginia Simmons Lee Blow. Simons. Okay, thank you. Sorry. It's funny, we were laughing at the outset, but she loved to laugh. That was always a part of you visit with her. You're going to end up laughing. So that's good. But she was born April 6, 1932. She passed away on Thursday, November 17, 2022. And there was a brief funeral service back then, but family wanted to have this time for a memorial service just to remember her life and what she meant to everyone here. And I know most of you knew her much longer than I did, but I was privileged to know her for a little while and to have some good fellowship with her. And she was a very special lady, and she will certainly be missed. But thank you for being here today. There will be an opportunity just a little bit later for you to share a word of testimony or remembrance. If you'd like to do that, you can be thinking about what you might want to say at that time. But let's begin with prayer. Our Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for this opportunity to remember Virginia's life. Lord, we thank you for her. We thank you for just her enthusiasm for life, her love for others, her love for you. And Lord, we can truly celebrate a life well lived because she followed you and sought to do your will and to manifest your love and your light to others around her. And so we've been privileged to know her, and we are thankful for the opportunity today just to remember her life and legacy. We pray your Holy Spirit will guide us in this service, and we pray that you would be glorified, and Lord, that her love for you would be reflected in the service today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We'll ask you to stand with us at this time as we turn to number 463 in your hymnals. 463, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. Day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please be seated.
This time I'd like to read Psalm 91. It says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Standing with us again as we turn to number 38 in your hymnals, if you need it, How Great Thou Art.
Thy power. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing set him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died, take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
I'd like to first start by thanking everyone that's here, and I'd like to thank the members and attendees at Faith Baptist Church that have supported Mom and Dad for so many years. Really appreciate the phone calls, the visits, pastoral visits, and as I was reminded a little while ago, a gentleman brought a cantaloupe by, and I remember that cantaloupe. If you know me, I have a hard time forgetting different foods. But we certainly thank the church for all its kindness and extension of love towards the family. I'd also like to thank our family and friends. We had not expected so many to travel so far to be here with us today. We thank you for that. It's a good thing it's in January. If you see the hotel prices in June and July, more of you might have stayed at home, but we're glad that you were able to make it out. Since the four of us are speaking, you're probably going to see Mom from four different perspectives. So I won't talk about her in a general way, but just how she related to me, her firstborn, her only son, the one she loved the best. Most of you have heard about Mom's prayer time and how she prayed for many people, many places. And it began at an early age. Mom liked to do things completely. Like when she said wash the dishes, it meant wash the dishes, dry the dishes, put the dishes away, put the dish rack away, sweep the floor, turn out the lights. That was wash the dishes. And I think it began at an early age, so she was assigned to wash clothes when she was growing up. And so she had that wash tub that's now, a musical instrument with Cajun music. But people used to actually use those to wash clothes in the bathtub. And I guess some of her cousins thought they would tease her a little bit, and they told her that if you get water on your blouse or your front while you were doing this, you would end up marrying a drunken man. I didn't know Mom to be naive all the time, but somehow she took that to heart. And she prayed that God would send her a godly man. And so she began to pray even before she began dating that God would send her a Christian man to raise a family, something that she did not enjoy as a child. I'm going to just share a few little instances between Mom and myself and then finish up at the end with something that I think that she would want you to know. When I was in high school, Mom shared with me one day the circumstances of my birth. I was born 11 months into their marriage. But before I was born, Mom developed a serious medical condition, and she had to have major surgery. The surgeons came to her and told her, this is back in 1956, this is not now where we have all the modern facilities and techniques, and the surgeon said to her, this is extremely difficult. Your life is in danger, and certainly the life of the unborn child is in danger. As a matter of fact, if he does not die during the surgery, he'll probably be born with several handicaps. And our recommendation is that you terminate the pregnancy. So Mom did what she would normally do in a situation like that. She prayed. She prayed with the pastor, she prayed with Dad, she prayed with the family members, and she prayed some more. And finally, she felt that the Lord led her to not terminate the pregnancy. And here I am. Mom shared that story a few times, but she didn't share it in the way that you probably think. She did not share that story to inform someone what decision to make. She would share that story in telling them how to make a decision. Because I'm sure in 1956, other women faced the same decision. And some of those women died. Some of those children died. Some of them were born with difficult mental and physical abilities. And Mom and Dad had only been married 11 months when I was born. So there was one of the first great tests of her relationship with the Lord and prayer. And I appreciated her telling me that. She didn't tell me that to make me guilty. But she wanted me to develop that same strategy in my life. When confronted with a difficult situation, to pray. Pray with your pastor. Pray with your partner. Pray with your family. And let the Lord lead you in the correct decision. Mom also enjoyed laughter and different situations that would come about that happened between me and her. One of them, Mom slipped on the steps coming up from our basement in Clayton, and she had a hard time. Her foot had got caught under the other leg, and she called for me to come help her get up off the steps. And so I came running, and there's my mom on the steps, and oh my gosh, what has happened? And we took a few seconds there to make sure nothing was broken, and I looked and I said, Mom, what are we going to do? And she said, listen, I want you to grab the back of my pantsuit, and on three, I want you to pull as hard as you can. The adrenaline was flowing in me at this time, and I was about 16 or 17 at the peak of my physical powers, and on the count of three, I pulled with everything I had, and Mom began to raise up off the steps, but then she yelped, ah! And I looked, and somehow my hand had slipped off of her pantsuit, and I was holding my mom's underwear. I had given her the biggest wedgie ever, and my first reaction, wrong reaction, I let go, and she fell again. We looked at each other, and we laughed and laughed and laughed, and finally we were able to get up. Dad came home. She told him the same story. Dad just shook his head and thought that maybe the Boy Scouts should take away my first aid merit badge. And we moved on from there. But there was also a serious thing that happened to me in high school. I was in history class. I was one of two African-American students in this college prep class. And the class had kind of morphed into a sociology-anthropology class. And I was told to read a passage and discuss it in class. And the passage that I had to read, the author of the book had stated that the lack of success and achievement of black people was due to the fact that they were unable to delay gratification. They couldn't save. They couldn't put things off for later. That they simply took what was there and consumed it immediately. I was embarrassed, and then I became very angry. I don't know how angry that I've ever been since then, but I stormed out of the class, I slammed the door, and I don't know where I went after that. I might have gone to the gym, cafeteria, somewhere like that, and eventually I think I walked home. We were about 2 miles from school, and I told my parents. Dad was in a difficult situation with his job, and Mom said she would go to school the next day. The next day, Mom came to school, and she went into the principal's office. There were no lawyers. There were no school board meetings. There were no newspapers, TV stations, board meetings, marches. But that book disappeared from my class, and that was the end of that. And Mom looked at me and she said, the book is gone, I still expect nothing less than a B. And I remember that because not only was she fun and was she carefree in certain situations, there were times where she took things seriously in defending her family and working for what is right. Mom had a strict sense of justice. All men are created equal. All men are loved equally by God. There came a time when I got my first job, real job. That's a job where you have a check and it shows you all the different people that are got their hands in your pocket but it's still a check, you know, it's a real thing. And I wore a jacket and tie to work and got my first car and big giant 73 Plymouth Fury. Thing was a monster. Had a 440 in it, burnt premium gasoline. And that was something else. Boy, I could lean in that thing. And I was at this job at a personal finance company. And unfortunately, this finance company, what I was expected to do to advance and to grow in my career, it was every financial decision that my parents had told me, you don't do. And my success in this company was dependent on getting people to do what I had been told, you don't do. There were other areas that I kind of worked well in, and it was like being in quicksand. I just didn't get anywhere. And one day the manager, my second manager, called me in. He said, Lamont, I don't know what it is, but this job's just not for you. I got to let you go. And I was devastated, you know. I was like, first job and working hard and doing what I'm supposed to do and got fired. So I went home and Dad hadn't gotten home yet and Mom was there. I said, Mom, I got fired. I didn't get the answer I was expecting. Most of you are thinking, Mom said, that's okay, son. Put your head right here. You'll get another job. Mom said to me, she said, I was praying for you to lose that job. You had no business there. Mom didn't have a lot of filters. She told it straight. Now, in the time that I had that job, I had begun to work in church. I had begun to be an assistant teacher in primary church. I was a leader at Stockade, Christian Service Brigade, West Post, and I'd begun to lead some Bible studies over at one of the ladies' churches, and Dad had helped me in preparation of preparing those Bible studies and so forth, and Dad had thought that I should begin to learn to give a testimony in church and to pray out loud in church. And so these things were, I had been doing these things. And I'm telling you this because after I lost this job, I moved up north. And I began attending a church where our previous pastor from Clayton was there. And I'd been going there about 2 or 3 weeks. The pastor called me aside and he said, Lamont, I called your pastor back in Clayton. And I asked him about you, and he recommended that you would be a good youth leader. And so that was my next job in Bloomfield. Mom had been praying. Still, she hadn't stopped, that I would follow and find something that would more naturally fit my skills and to do something that was, as she said, positive for everybody else. During that time, Dad was going through some difficult times at his job. Mom typed and collected information and help them. But she always kept the barrier. She wanted us, she wanted me to continue with what I was doing and not worry what was going on elsewhere. As I began to work with the young people at church, there were some difficult situations in the inner city. And I would share with Mom, just Mom. I'd say, Mom, can you pray for so-and-so? Can you pray for this person? She said, sure, I'll pray for them. And she would pray, and then she would call me back, sometimes in the middle of the week, and she would say, well, Mom, how is so-and-so doing? Oh, yeah, Mom, he's doing better now. He's doing, or she. And Mom would say, okay, good. I'll continue to pray for them. And Mom was always there for whatever I was doing. I'm sure the three of them are going to tell you for them as well. But one summer, I took 20-some junior high kids camping. And it rained. You didn't hear me. I said, it rained. Noah had not seen this kind of rain. So I had 20 soaked, the tents collapsed, by the way. Yeah, the tents collapsed. Soaking wet with the leaders, and I was at my wit's end. What do I do? And I said, oh, that's right. I'm only 3 miles away from Mom's house. I'll call my mom. No matter how old you get, that's it. So I called Mom. I said, Mom, the kids don't want to go back home. They want to stay out here, but we're wet. We're soaking wet. Can we come and stay in the basement? Mom said, oh, sure, bring them on over. So I had all these kids dripping wet come in the house, and she helped segregate them, boys over here, girls over there, you over here, you over, stop kicking that one over there. And she became a grandma. And we had food. The next morning, I got up. Mom was already fixing breakfast for all 20 of the kids and the rest of us, and she had a ball. You're not going to believe this, but the following year, the exact same thing happened. I picked up the phone. Mom didn't answer the phone. Paulette answered the phone. We didn't have caller ID back then. I was calling from a payphone. I said, hello, and Paulette said, no, they're not coming over. And I said, put Mom on the phone. And we went back, and we camped out at Shea Blow once again. I didn't go back to that camp. Again, I didn't want to push it. But Mom was generous. You couldn't put her out if it meant hospitality. She always had an extra plate. She always had an extra place, an extra blanket, an extra pillow. You'd go in the refrigerator. It was always open. And I felt that. Later on, at the time, I had two young men in the youth group. They're having a difficult time, very difficult time. Their home lives were not good, and they were struggling. And I was struggling with them. Pastor was struggling working with them and their families, and just didn't know what to do. And so I called Mom. I said, Mom, I got these two kids. They're having a difficult time. They need some grandma time. Can I come home? So I brought these two young men home for 3 days. And she talked to them together. She talked to them individually. And I'll never forget, we got in the truck to drive back to Bloomfield. Both of them said, boy, that was the best weekend we ever had. It's been at your house. Again, it was Mom that had extended herself. I'd like to finish by telling you four things that Mom would like you to know today. First thing she would want you to know is, don't be too proud to come to Christ. She would tell you that if you stand and look at creation, you're not all that. You're not any of that. And what little you are is because God loves you. Don't let pride stand in the way of coming to know the Lord. Second thing she would want you to know is don't be ashamed. Christ has seen it all. He's heard it all. He sent his son to die on the cross. And that blood covers every possible thing that you could be ashamed of. Come to him and let him raise you up. Don't be ashamed. Third thing she would want you to know is don't be afraid what other people think. In history and now and in the future, there are some Christians and maybe Christians that have said and done some horrible and despicable things. And so the world looks at anybody that says you're a Christian and they make a judgment. Ah, Christians, come on, give me a break. Christians. It makes you feel small sometimes. But Mom would say, don't be afraid what man thinks. Consider what God thinks. Come to him. Kneel before him. Don't be afraid. He'll be your shield, defender. He'll protect your reputation. The last thing that she would want you to know, and one thing that I've tried not to do here, is not tell you how wonderful she was, but she would want you to know. How great he is.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here to help us celebrate mom's life. I'm Vanessa. I'm the second child. None of us discuss what we're going to say, so Lamont's right. There's going to be some overlap and some not overlap. But mom had a great impact on all of our lives. I just want to say that Lamont's going to be in a little bit of trouble because Nancy, his wife, is sick, and she couldn't be here in person today, but she's on the live stream looking at us. You forgot. He didn't forget. He just is going to mention her later when he's talking to you. So us, the children, and mom's grandchildren, unfortunately, we're not able to be here. Adrian and Alfred is the oldest, and Adrian's the younger. But we're all pleased that you're here to celebrate the life of Virginia Simons Blow. And when I say that, I have to say what her real name was, because in mom's family, everybody had a nickname. Even the ones we thought were real names, they weren't their real names. So for the Simons family, yeah, we're here representing Chi. She was the daughter of Vernonia Simons, the wife of Linrod Blow, sister to Orlando Simons, and mother to us, and so many others. She adopted so many people in her heart. Mom attributed everything she accomplished to knowing Jesus as her personal Savior. She was a wonderfully smart, caring, loving, funny, sometimes stubborn, stylish, and thoughtful person. But everything she did had a purpose. She never did anything just, well, let me just do it. And like Lamont said, she really didn't have many filters. So she was just the just do it person long before Nike adopted that slogan. If you said, I can't just do it. I don't want to just do it. So she always wanted you to do your best, and she always wanted you to be your best. And she wanted that for everybody, not just her family, but anybody she met. That was really her thing. Never give up trying. Growing up in Norfolk, Virginia in the 1930s, Mom experienced a lot of negative growing up. She grew up in poverty. She grew up in prejudice. However, she had a Christian grandmother, Christine, and she would tell us stories how she would listen to Grandma Christine huddled around the stove in the kitchen, because that's where it was warm. And Christine would read from the big family Bible. So she was always interested. Even before she accepted Christ, she wanted to know more. Who's that Jesus? And she always looked at Jesus as her friend. Not somebody way out there doing something that she couldn't relate to. He was right here. And when she needed something, she turned right to him, and she talked to him in plain language. You know, a lot of times we think prayer, a lot of bunch of wonderful words, beautiful words. But she would just say, you know, Lord, the budget's looking bad this month. What are we going to do? She'd just tell him, you know, Lord, I got some bad feelings against that person today. Lord, help me change my attitude. So she was very practical. Just very down to earth. And she always helped us to understand many things that her grandma gave her. You know, she'd always say, you'd say, oh, well, this is happening, or that person has this, or that person has that. And, you know, she'd say, you know, we may not have those material things, but you remember that you're no better than anybody else, and nobody else is any better than you. So it was always a level playing field. So, you know, you had that confidence that, hey, you know, I'm just as good as everybody else, and everybody else is just as good as you. And that was that balance. She never wanted others to suffer. She never wanted others to be unloved or unwanted. And so she focused on the positives in life. She managed to find that balance you know, life is not easy. Sometimes we tell people, oh, life is, you know, either we get the, it's really hard or it's, you know, it's a piece of cake. The mom found that balance. She was always able to find that middle ground and able to find the balance between living for the Lord, but also being a light in the world that people could relate to. She related well to others. Many of you, like Lamont said, know her as a prayer warrior. If she said she was going to pray for you, she prayed for you. She did it daily. Every morning, Mom woke up praying. And she didn't just say, well, you know, Lord, help the world, help the person. No, she named you by name. So if I told her, you know, I've got some friends and, you know, they're having some family problems or the kids are having difficulty, or she named you by name. All of you out there, I'm looking at you. She named you by name, and then she'd come back and say, well, how's so-and-so doing? You know, what happened with that situation? So she didn't just pray. She followed through. And she always would be giving words of encouragement and words of wisdom. You know, whenever we shared with her our frustrations, worry, doubt, well, she was quick to find out, well, what exactly are you worried about, first of all? Let's get this in perspective. Let's make sure that we understand what we're talking about. And then she would quote you some scripture. Now, that was fine if you were feeling good, but, you know, if you were having some of those teenage and young adult and kind of crazy ideas in your head, you know, sometimes that scripture really, ooh. You know, she was never loud spoken. She didn't yell at you. But she would say something, and she'd quote a piece of script, you know, well, Mom, I think I ought to do, okay, well, what is verse so-and-so? Oh, okay. You know, you couldn't get angry at her because she always quoted the Bible. So you had a hard time, you know, getting upset with Mom because it wasn't her talking. She was like, I'm just passing on what the Lord said. You can do what you want. It's your decision. She never told us, you know, I'm going to make the decision or you better do this. It's your decision, but I just want you to be informed. And so, you know, it was pretty easy sometimes to make those decisions. And sometimes we did make wrong decisions. But Mom's only thing was, you know, if that's your decision, then you live with it. And, you know, whatever the consequences are, then we're going to deal with that when it comes. And so one of her favorite ones was Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So even at 90, with her body failing, some of her mental quickness was slowing, although she was still sharper than me a lot of things, she remained steadfast in her faith, her witnessing, and her praying. And she really appreciated the cards, the phone calls, the messages from the church members, from Faith Baptist, from Bloomfield Baptist, from Clayton Baptist. Each church that she had gone to, people always remembered her and reached out to her. Mom, you know, for a while, as Lamont said, each of us had our own little view of Mom and things that were just pertinent to us. Well, when I came along, Mom had been working for a while, and Mom and Dad had moved out to Iowa. They were working at a friend's school, and Mom was teaching accounting and secretarial, and Dad was in the biology department and agriculture, and they were back and forth, and the little second child, she's a bit of a problem child. So she was having some difficulty, and so they took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I think she's lacking attention. She's feeling a little anxious. So apparently Mom and Dad had a discussion, and they said, and so Dad said, well, you know, the doctor's saying that, you know, this child needs a little more attention than the first one who, you know, walked at 9 months, talked at 10 months, and just, you know, did his own thing. And so he said, well, one of us, he didn't say which one, and that's how they lived their life they discussed everything, they shared everything. And so he said, one of us is going to have to stay home, you know, with this child. So they discussed and talked it over, and so it ended up Mom made the choice that she was going to be the one that stayed home. However, when we moved to Clayton in the early 70s, you know, I was in high school. I kind of recovered. My sister and brother would probably tell you I still was always the needy child. But so, you know, Mom was kind of a little bit at loose ends, you know. The two little ones here, what she called her second family, what we called the annoyances. they were growing up, and so Mom had kind of said, well, you know, maybe I should do something, and I've got time on my hand, and maybe I'd like to go back to work. And we all just rallied around her. I mean, we got the papers out. Back then, there was no internet, you know, no Indeed, no all those places. You got the paper and pulled it out. So we were pulling out ads every other week. Hey, Mom, look at this one. We think you could do that. And so with the support of us, she did go back to work, and then she went to work at Rowan University and was the secretary for the physical sciences department there. And had opportunity to touch so many lives there. She touched students' lives. I don't know how many adopted brothers and sisters I have, because every time I came home, there was somebody else. Oh, well, they didn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving. It was too far for them to go home for Christmas. They have a summer internship, so they need somewhere to stay because the internship was here. And she made all of them feel welcome. She never made us feel that, you know, she was neglecting us or that we weren't important anymore. We just added on. And one of her first students over here, Diana, and her son Jason are here today. I'm so glad you're here to celebrate with us with a mom. She just took on projects. You know, she'd see you, if she saw your head down, what's going on? You having a problem? You need some help? You need somebody to talk to? She just went for it. And so I'm sure there's many others from school, some that I never even met, that she touched their lives and encouraged them and kept up with them. And some of them kept up with her for a long time, like Diane and Ty and others. Friends of mine that I went to school with, friends from medical school. Charles and Leona couldn't be here today, but Charles was like, you have to tell us, what can we do? What can we do? Because Mom had him come and stay for a semester when he was in medical school, and we had two schools at the time, and the first part of his schooling was up where I was, and then he had to go to South Jersey. And so I said, well, Charles, Mom and Dad, they live right down the street from where you're going to have to go to school, the hospital you're going to have to work at. So I called Mom. Hey, Mom, you know, I got a friend here, and he needs some place to stay rather than him staying in an apartment or something. She's like, oh, sure, come on over. So they took people in like that all the time. And Mom always remained curious about life. She always remained curious about everything. Living to 90 years old in those last 16 years, she lived so gracefully without her boyfriend, she called him. She didn't call Dad her husband. She said, that's my boyfriend. And so it was amazing to watch her still maintain that zest for life. She kept up with the news. She kept up with events. She kept up with the weather. That was really one of the big things. Mom always wanted to know the weather. I'd be like, Mom, if you look out the window, you can see the weather. But every night, nope, I got to see what the weather's going to be tomorrow. I was like, Mom, it's going to be different by morning. I'm going to watch the weather. Turn the weather on now. Turn on the news. Well, now they put the weather segment first. Back then, the weather segment was the last thing on the news. So you're sitting there, and weather, you know, the news comes on, and they give all the horror stories and a few little good stories. And then by the time the weather came on, you look over there, Mom, I thought you wanted to look at the weather. I am. Mom, you're asleep. Wake up. The weather's on. I heard everything he said. So you couldn't get around Mom. She always had an answer for you. And she always, she stayed up to date even the last weeks of her life. She knew what was going on in the news. She prayed for people. She prayed for those in authority over us, like the Bible says, not just one side or the other side. She prayed for all of them. She knew they needed wisdom. They need help. So she prayed for them. She didn't fear death. Mom was a remarkable person. She wasn't a crier. In fact, she informed us, when I die, she said, I don't want to hear anything about crying. You better not cry. You better not be up there just crying. She said, I'm going to be with the Lord, and I'm being celebrated. So she had a little discussion with her granddaughter several years ago, and her granddaughter was worrying, Grandma's getting up there in age, and, man, what am I going to do, Grandma? I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you if you go. And Mom just gave her usual casual reply. She said, well, I'm going to miss me too. So you kind of get the picture of who Mom was. She was fun to be around as long as you were doing the good stuff. If you weren't on your P's and Q's, she didn't make you feel bad. She just gave you the information, and you put it together and said, ooh, I'm not doing so good. So even though she's gone physically from our lives, her words of wisdom, love, and the pride that she has for us still remain. And I think one of the loveliest things she ever said, and she would tell people that she didn't just love her children because they were her children. That was the unconditional love. She said, but I kind of like them as people. And I thought that was one of the best compliments. And that really sustains us today. So I really want to thank my sisters, Paulette and Melanie. They really pulled the hefty weight the last couple of years, staying with Mom. And they also helped organize our service today. So I really wanted to thank them for appreciation. And I'm surprised, Paulette still got her piano chops. Hadn't heard her play in a while. Mom would want you to remember, read your Bible. She said, you can read a lot of other stuff, but you need to read your Bible. And reading the other stuff is important, but read your Bible. Memorize your verses. She got to the point where she really wasn't able to read. Her vision got low. But she knew those verses. She could still quote them to you. So while you have time, while you're able, get those things solidly in your mind. Keep them with you. And do it every day. She was disciplined. I'm not as disciplined as Mom. I kind of, I remember this, I remember that. But she gave us that discipline, and watching it in her life, it encourages you to do better and keep trying.
Would ask you to stand with us now. Turn to 109 in your hymnals if you need it. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Standing with us, please, as we sing.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I haven't worn these shoes, but it could be good afternoon at this point. I haven't worn these shoes for the bobble here in quite some time. I have to start off with saying thank you, as my brother and sister have done. There's a saying in Girl Scouts, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold. And I'd like to expand that. We have silver and gold friends and family here, but each and every one of you can be considered gemstones. And gemstones have their own particular characteristics, qualities, shines, and uses. And so I thank each and every one of you who represent in Mom's jewelry box the gemstones that you are and were to her as neighbors. I see neighbors from Claiborne Drive, from the church here at Faith Baptist, First Baptist Church of Bloomfield, New Jersey, Clayton, New Jersey, Atlantic City, all the people here. So I thank you. For that. I thank Pastor and Debbie Garbutt here at Faith Baptist for doing this hard work. I don't see Wanda Lee. Pastor is brilliant to know. He said, you guys talk to Wanda and she'll help in organizing this program. So we're thankful to Wanda. We're thankful to Heather, who should really be here. And thankful for her and what she's done in terms of the music. Robbie, thank you so much for leading the music at this point. And I'd like to thank Pastor Jeremy and Rachel from First Baptist Church of Bloomfield for their response and for their talking to folks. And it's horrible to say thank you and then, you know, you don't want to leave people out. So Melanie and I, and I'm sure Vanessa and Lamont will be, Melanie started a ritual with us, with Mom, because she could no longer write. She could no longer see. She had low vision. Melanie would read aloud all of the cards that Mom would receive. And then at Christmas, I think you did it for at least 3 years. This last year may have been the year we did not do it. Melanie would write cards. She would read the prayer bulletin and write cards to folks as Mom, or make calls for Mom, dial the telephone. But she also sent out all the Christmas cards that you received. That's why you were able to read them, because of her beautiful script and all that, so she was able to do that. So I want to thank them for that. I want to thank my brother for being the brother he is, and unfortunately thinking that he is the favorite child. I'm trying to figure out, my middle name is Virginia, so I'm thinking I might be the favorite. And for him keeping levity in the family and for calling and making Mom laugh. I want to thank Vanessa for coming by and giving us, especially in this last year, allowing Melly and I to get some breaks by coming and cooking dinner and doing cleanup and helping us with Mom. And I'd like to thank Gupta. And Gupta knows who he is, for being who he was and for helping us to be able to not miss a single doctor's appointment and to help us get over. I didn't realize Williamsburg was such a food desert, especially during the pandemic. And so helping us to navigate. I was new down here. Melanie knew a little bit more. But thank you all for all that you are to us and all that you were to my mom. Okay, I'm going to get on script so I don't end up taking up way too much time. After 4 years of caregiving, after a lifetime of mamas lived and expressed love for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after a lifetime of sacrifice for her family, she is rejoicing, she is worshiping in heaven with all those who know him and went on before her. At every opportunity, Mama told people about the Lord Jesus Christ and her personal relationship with him and their need to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as well. No one was spared. When I saw her talking to the HVAC gentleman who had come to fix the air conditioning. Now listen, you're a young man, and you were sent to my home. I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm a widow, so make sure you first and foremost take care. Take good care to make sure you do the right thing by me. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? I said, Mom, we're sweating. Let him go ahead and do his work. Me, the heathen, saying that. She was not shy in doing so and sharing. God had changed her life, and she wanted that for others as well. She was not timid, and it was part of her nature to share what God had done in her life and what he can do in our lives. I want to read briefly from Psalm 41:40-10. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Mama would accept nothing less than this from all of us. In her passing, and I quote, serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't be swayed by anything or anyone. Be faithful in all things to him. Trust in him and be obedient or suffer the consequences. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for the truth, even if it means you stand alone or have to die for it. My mother had I don't know if you call it a tick or what. She had a thing. And when she was talking to you, I see heads shaking. She would, I don't know if that helped you to focus or what, but it worked for me. And imagine being told to stand for the truth, even if you have to die for it. Mommy, I was just asking if Mr. Zimmerman was going to show up for piano lessons today. That's a little exaggerated, but the emphasis on standing for truth, no matter what occurs. The other one, God gave you a brain, use it. My grandma used to say, this is Grandma Christine, used to say, there's no fool like an educated fool. Mommy believed in education, and she encouraged, enticed us to follow through with our education as well. Not as a means of carrying something on our shoulders or on our backs, but as a matter of what she loved in Proverbs especially, most of all, get wisdom and understanding so that you can in turn help other people. And as been expressed by my brother and sister already, our house was filled constantly, no matter where we were, with people coming in and going out. And the definition of hospitality was learned at my mother's feet, at my father's feet. And finally, I'll end with a letter written on 4/26/2018. And it was a homework assignment for a Bible study that I was doing that said, go fish. I never shared this with Mom, unfortunately. I was up in Bloomfield at the time. Dear Mom, thank you for leading me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for, at my birth, dedicating my life back to God in service to Him. Thank you for praying for me each and every day since the day you found out you were pregnant with me. Thank you for doing the same with my two sisters and my brother. Thank you for not compromising and for creating a sense of urgency around my decision to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I thank her because at 6 years old, I came to know the Lord. Thank you for reading the Bible to me and with me and for attempting to answer any questions I had. Thank you for insisting that we attend church and all services and activities you knew would facilitate my growth and maturity in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for never being afraid to be the mother, the parent God called you to be for me. Thank you for your choice individually and collectively with my father to continue to grow in your knowledge, faith, and love of God. Thank you for your words of wisdom, encouragement, and correction. Thank you, even more significantly, for your walk in Jesus Christ. Especially when I was a teenager, your walk, the show, often proved more valid and reliable measures of your faith in Jesus Christ than your talk, the tell. That's just how it is with teenagers. Thank you for your consistency, trustworthiness, your example. Mama, thank you for giving and leaving me a legacy that will withstand the test of time and has guaranteed me a home for all eternity in heaven. I love you more than you know, and more than I can ever say, and more than I can ever show you. Love always until He calls me home. Pawpaw. Please forgive me, my sister reminded me. I'm almost at another milestone birthday, almost, so the memory. I am so happy to announce, as many of you have asked, that at Rowan University, formerly known as Glassboro State College, a scholarship has been established in Mommy's name, the Virginia S. Blow Aspiring Teacher Scholarship, that is funded for a minimum of $1,000 each year for a minimum of 5 years. So what I'll be doing is sending out, Pastor and Debbie will put it in the bulletin subsequently. We will attempt to get it out to folks via email the links so you can pay online. You can send in a traditional check, and we'll have that information and be able to disperse it to folks. Mom loved education, and it would be housed. It's housed at the college in general, at the university in general, but at the School of Education specifically, in her honor, in her memory. That covered.
Well, it's a good thing Mommy didn't have any more children. I am the last. I am the baby. And I want you to know all these songs, as joyful as you are, I've all made today, are small snippets of my mom's favorite songs. So we thought in honor to more memorialize her, we would do it in song. So every song you sung is one of her favorites. She has many more, but these were ones that were precious to her spirit. So thank you for singing her song. As long as you sang it, she would love it. All right. And my family has already said thank you to everybody that is here. Because I tell you, when she woke up early, if you were sitting here watching, she prayed for you. And that is the truth. And she started at 5 o'clock. If she was late, it was 6 o'clock. asked me how I knew. I thought something was wrong with Mom in the morning, and I said, "Is Mama?" And then, no, she was in there praying, and I would just tiptoe back to my bed and just lay there. And she would not miss a name. Not miss a name. And I mean, if you're sitting in a seat today, and if you're watching, she prayed for you. She did not miss a name. And that's what she was there. I know she prayed. And I had to learn how to pray, because dinner time, my favorite prayer was, "God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. Amen." And Mama said one day, "Minnie, do not come to this table again saying that prayer. You're going to say something better than that." And I said, "Okay, all right." Because the thing was, when Dad said, "Who's going to say grace?" I was like, and there we all say. And the thing is, don't let Mama pray. I was hungry. And there was no guarantee the food was going to stay warm. And that's the truth. So I had to learn how to pray. So that was my beginning in prayer. That prayer had to go. And boy, yeah, it went. Because I was like, oh. She said, "God is no stranger to you. So why are you acting like you're a stranger to him? Speak and talk to God." So I said, "Okay." And I did. So that's how that went. And then, so Mom was a Bible-toting disciplinarian. And not only that, she made sure we did what we needed to do. And I remember that disciplinarian aspect, because one day Paulette and I had the idea that we were going to help Mama out. She wanted to sit down and read. And we were going to help out with dinner. And we were going to make some bread. You know, I tell you, break bread. Yeah, you broke bread all right. And we made that bread. It was a beautiful piece of bread. Oh, my gosh. It was gold and brown. Smelled good. And we went in there and said, "Look, Mama, we helped you out with dinner." We were little kids. "You said we helped you out. We made some bread for dinner." Ooh, Mama got up. She said, "What did I tell you? Do not go in there. Touch that stove and that. I told you to leave my stuff alone." Next thing I know, our happiness went to sadness. Because she found Daddy's belt. Now, I was chef number two. Paula had a smart idea. We were going to get paper bags, lunch bags. I put on our heads. She had chef number one, and I was chef number two. Well, chef number one stayed in the kitchen. Chef number two took the tail outside with my brother to save me. Because when Mama came with that belt, I didn't want no parts of it. And I said, when Mama asked what's going on, I said, "We made bread. Mama did tell us not to make it. And I don't know. I won't go in there because I'm going to get spanked. And Paulette already getting spanked. I just can't take it. I can't do it." But the thing with it with Mama is she didn't come after me. She didn't run after me, no. Because, you know, we talk about the story, you know, teach kids wants and needs in school. I wanted happiness with my mama. I wanted to help her out. But guess what? The needs outweighed happiness that day, because Mama didn't come because she knew I needed to go to bed eventually. That was inside the house. She knew I needed to eat dinner because the table was inside the house. And she knew I needed to go to the bathroom eventually, and that was inside the house. So she just stayed inside that house because she said she's going to come in here sooner or later. And I did. I finally had to break down and go in there. And I started hopping before she raised her hand on me. I was crying before I got warmed. It was on. It was on. But then after it was all said and done, Mom sat us down. And she told Paul and I, she said, "You got spanked for two reasons. Number one, because you disobeyed me. I told you to not go in that kitchen and touch my stuff. And the second reason is safety. You're little. That oven could have caught y'all. Y'all could have burned yourselves. You don't know what could have happened." Something simple like that. So when she disciplined us and told us why. She never disciplined us and just said, "Go somewhere." She always sat us down after the fact and explained to us why she did it. And then after that, you're like, oh. And that made you somewhat, at times, and sometimes it didn't, but most of the times it did, say, well, Mama does love us. She's right. And can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. But before we took, Paul and I took Mama to the hospital, I had taken time to rub her hands because she had been in so much pain with those Raynaud's and that, and it was just unrelentless. So I said, I got to do something. So I did. I rubbed and rubbed. I took a spoon and I just started that circulation in her hand. And it calmed down. It calmed down tremendously. And that was a Sunday. And we transitioned her from the kitchen to the living room. And while she was there, she asked to hear some church. She said, I need to hear some sermons. So she heard two powerful sermons, one from Pastor Van Sant from Bloomfield Baptist, where Paul is still a member, Lamar was a member of, and Pastor Garland right here at Faith Baptist Church. And she just nodded her head in agreement with what y'all were preaching about. And it wasn't a grunt of pain this time because I kept looking and it was calming. And she's like, And she was in agreement with what you were saying. And so Mama really enjoyed when you all would preach. She enjoyed when somebody gave the word and gave it without any errors, without any filters. Give it and give it strong, because we're in a turbulent times now. So we need not to play with God. Pray. And she meant that. And so this is a little thing that I'm sure Mama would echo with me, that the church cannot be the salt of the earth if we keep sugar-coated the gospel. All right? Cannot be the salt of the earth. So to those pastors, thank you for allowing Mom to hear her last sermons on this earth, because it touched her. She smiled. She smiled because she had been in so much pain, but she was able to smile. And I'm sure she would say this to you. Continue to pray like Nehemiah. Continue to obey God like David. Continue to lead like Moses. Continue to serve like Martha. Continue to believe like Mary. And to continue to fight on in giving the gospel like David. And educate folks about the Lord, like Paul. And build upon what you have built, like Noah. And all of it, love Jesus. All right? So to Mama, I say this. And before I even get to Mama, I did want to say one thing. When Mama passed, you know, he's like, wow, I got Mom, Dad gone, and Mama gone. You somewhat feel like an orphan a little bit. Both your parents, you know you're going to pass. But, you know, it's like, can you hold on just a little longer? Just a little longer. And I selfishly said that when I was leaving the hospital because I saw Mama was going to go. And I said, Lord, just a little while longer. Can I have her? And I said, I told Lord, I said, I'm being selfish. But I said, but your will be done. And then I thought about it after a while. And I said, I'm not totally an orphan because I want to acknowledge my aunt here, 97-year-old aunt. She has been a mother to all of us. On this side are my father's, his brother's children that are here. And she never married, but she took us all in, and we were able to all be a child for her. She treated us like she had given birth to us. So I want to thank you, Auntie, for all you've done. And I know this is might be a little heavy on you because she was number 7 and had 6 brothers. And so, Auntie, you have been through it all. She's buried all her brothers and their wives, her sister-in-law, and my mom being the last. So I want to thank you for staying strong. God has brought you a mighty long way. And you look, don't look 97. You look 17 and you move. You look good, and I appreciate the fact that you're still here and you're still going. So I can't say I'm a full orphan, I'm a half orphan, because I still have my mama who did take care of me. I lived with her when I was working in Elizabeth, New Jersey, as a in Park and Recreation, and she let me stay there with her amongst my other family members and cousins. So to Mom, I say this. I thought of you today, but that is nothing new. I thought about you yesterday and days before that too. I think of you in silence. I often speak your name. All I have are memories and a picture in a frame. Your memory is a keepsake from which I'll never part. God has taken you in his arms, but I have you always in my heart. Thank you. I want to thank Margaret for
That song expresses Virginia's heart, her desire to help others, and felt like her life was worthwhile if she could point others to Christ and help others in their need. The family would like to give you an opportunity, if there's anything you would like to share, a special remembrance of Virginia and how she impacted your life. And so we just want to open that opportunity to you right now. If you want to just stand and speak. Yes, sir.
Adults, when we saw her, we didn't see her that often. She always said, "How are your children? How are you doing?" And I believe she always prayed for us. Thank you.
Thank you. She did.
Us, she was cheap. but I've been calling her that since I'm about 3 years old. I'm 81 now, so she's cheating. But growing up, coming up with her, it was a life-changing thing. I always loved her. She always loved us, you know. And when she grew up, she was brought up to leave home. I missed her because I felt like when she was there, whatever she did, I was right there with her because that was, like I said, from her favorite crush. Lamont said when she was afraid to get water on her because she thought that means she was from her drunken man or whatever. Well, there were some guys back in the day, and she was a young lady, in their teens, and they wanted to come around, you know, court and call and whatever. But it was someone that she really didn't care that much about. And then she kind of said, "Son, come up here and get with me." So I was the one that was in the river. If she didn't care that much about it, I'm sitting in the river. No. But I noticed the difference. When Lynn came, Clarence said, "Here, take this quarter and go to store and buy it." Wait a minute now. Send me away, say, something must be wrong or something right. And anyway, I knew then. I said, well, apparently this is what she's been waiting for. And I really was. And I, first I was kind of jealous that he was taking my cousin on. But as I grew up and learned things to learn about life, and I realized he's the best thing ever happened to me. And I'm glad. But I was here to see everyone. See the kids from up home, see them go, how they prosper. And me, I got to love him as much as I love her. And of course, one of my cousins, Paul Campbell. I have to love him all.
Amen. anyone has anything else to say, please use the microphone. The people online can't hear. And she wants to hear. So my wife has spoken.
We have to do it again. We won't get in trouble. We have to all.
You were tempting fate. Do any of these? Yeah, this mic works here, so if somebody else would. Well, if we're done, I'm going to take this time to tell one little. Oh, and sis, come on up. Aunt Sis is 98 this past August. And every one of her nieces and nephews at one time or another have stayed at her apartment, have gone on a trip with her somewhere, and have gone some adventure, usually involving the church, with her. So we're thankful to have her here.
I want to say that I am the one that came along after all of those boys that you heard about. And I thank God for Virginia having known her. And she blessed my life, and I think I hope I was a blessing to her life. I put it that way. But I just loved my sister-in-law because she would never, never let you believe that you said something right and you didn't. Well, she was always there to bless you and help you in whatever way she could. But I loved her so very, very much. And Lamont and his sisters, they are my children now.
Amen. I'll keep this short. I was cut this off when I was speaking earlier. Just want to give you a little contrast between Mom and Dad. As you know, Mom went back to college. She tried out to go to college when she first graduated high school and was only able to go for a semester before she could no longer afford. So after she got married, put all of her kids through school, she went back to school, and she was thrilled with school. And one of the classes she took had to do with family dynamics and conflict resolution. And so people talked about going to see the pastor, going to see a therapist, writing letters to somebody you might have had problems with, talking face-to-face, doing various things that people were sharing. And then Mom raised her hand in class and asked to share a story that she said was true about conflict resolution. So the professor, to his everlasting shame, called on Mom and let her explain her story. And so she told the story of a young couple, just gotten married, and unfortunately the husband came home with some foolishness, and he did not express the correct amount of contriteness when confronted with his foolishness. And so she took a cast iron frying pan and hit him upside the head. This is the expression that we all had as Mom told us this story. So, Mom, what happened? She said, they were married for 60 years. We said, oh. So, fast forward a number of years, and I'm married. I mean, happily married. And my father calls aside Nancy, my wife, and he says to Nancy, Nancy, I want you to take care of my son. Take care of my boy. Look after him. Nancy's a little teary-eyed, Dad's a little teary-eyed, and she said, yes, I'll take care of your son. Mom donated her entire collection of cast iron frying pans to Nancy. I'm happily married.
Let me just say, you know, as I think about Virginia Blow, I didn't know her as well as most of you. I was privileged to know her for a little while, and a lot of things stand out. Let me just hit three things very quickly. As has been said, she was a prayer warrior. I mean, there were times when I would call to check on her, just see how she was doing, and she would ask, how is so-and-so doing? How is so-and-so doing? She kept up with the church and the people here, and when there was a need, she was praying, and she always wanted to know. And so somebody's got to take up the slack now. Somebody's going to have to take her place, because we desperately need those prayers. But also, you know, she did believe in helping people, living out her faith. I was reminded of something that we read in 1 John chapter 3. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And truly, Lynrod and Virginia sought to live that out, to help people to do what they could, not just to talk about loving people, but to love people. They lived it out. And they were an example to all of us. And then lastly, she was a believer. And I think she had expressed a desire that the gospel would be given at her funeral. And I just want to briefly, Lamont said, basically gave the gospel. But there was a song that didn't get included in today's funeral or memorial service, and I want to read the words to you. But it says this: time measured out my days, life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but I knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained, just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere with my salvation up to me, and I know how that would go, the battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here's all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go, the battles I would face, forever running, but losing the race, were it not for grace. It just emphasizes the fact, what Virginia knew, that salvation is not by our human effort. That's all in vain. We can't gain heaven that way. It only comes by the grace of God. Salvation is a gift that God gives us. It was paid for by Jesus Christ, and he offers it to all who will admit their need of it, admit that they're sinners and need his forgiveness and his salvation made possible by the death of Christ. And all we have to do is receive it. And if you've never done that, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never received God's gift of salvation, maybe you're trying to get to heaven your own way, through your own works, it doesn't work. You only can go by receiving God's gift of salvation. He offers it to you freely, and you can have it today. Just ask, and he'll save you. Well, let's stand together, and there's a final hymn that we're going to sing. The words are on the back of the program that you received today, and it's entitled Because He Lives. Rob will come and lead us, and then we'll close in prayer. service, you are invited to participate in some refreshments and a time of fellowship. If you, as you exit the auditorium, if you just go down the hall, the first door on the left, there's a table there that will have food on it. Just feel free to get what you want, and then there's tables in there. You can sit around and enjoy some time of fellowship together. And so please take advantage of that and have an opportunity to express your encouragement and support to this family. As we pray, we'll pray for the meal so we can go ahead and eat as you go in there. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you again for the life of Virginia Blow and, Lord, how much she has meant to each and every one of us. And we thank you for the way you have worked in her life. Lord, you have saved her, and then you just directed her life and made her what she was and made her the blessing that she was to all of us. We thank you that the Lord Jesus lives today and that because he lives, we can live too. And we thank you that Virginia knew the Lord as her Savior, that she's with you there today rejoicing and praising you and worshiping you and enjoying renewed fellowship with the family and friends that had gone on before. Lord, we thank you that one day we can join her because of Christ. And we do pray that if there's one that's here today or maybe even watch the service by way of live stream and they have never believed on Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that today might be the day of salvation for them. Lord, we thank you for the food that has been provided and the opportunity for that continued fellowship. We pray your blessing upon both the food and the time of fellowship together. Lord, may your Spirit be in our midst even during this time. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.